What people don't realize that don't have businesses is for entrepreneurs that own a business, it's the fifth kid, it's the second kid, it's a kid. A business is a kid.
It really is.
You really love it like that when you're a purebred entrepreneur. You love it, you do. You don't want it to get hurt. Yeah. You don't want it to die. Like, you really care for it like that. Attention is the number one asset. Vayner Nation, how are you? I'm super excited for Podcast with Friends number 6. I missed number 5. I don't know how I missed that, which is my favorite number, by the way. That's why I always do this in my photos. I wanted to make a big to-do about it. But first, I want to give a big shout out to everybody on Twitch. Thank you for joining. Big shout out to First Time Chatter, H-World. We've got 3 great guests here. I'm going to do what I always do and allow them to go around the horn and introduce themselves. And then we will just talk about some shit. And then we will all go on our merry way. But most of all, we're trying to provide you as much value out there. And my favorite part is, we started a little bit late because I had a client thing. I hope the 3 of you got it to talk a little bit together. But what's been going on already, just 6 episodes in, I had 2 or 3 people that have been on prior episodes tell me that they became friendly with the people around their table. That is my purpose, besides making sure you, the audience, everybody gets to discover different people doing cool things in the world, so that we can take this process that I love of strangers become acquaintances, acquaintances become friends, and friends become family. So that's the goal, that's the agenda, boys and girls. And let's, like always, start with ladies first. Why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm Valentina Ferrer, I'm from Argentina. I have a mother wellness, I call. The name is Capowder because we teach people how to have like a healthy lifestyle and enjoying it. We have like matcha, hyaluronic acid in powder. Everything is gluten-free and vegan.
I love it. And how long have you been doing that?
From 2019, I start in during the quarantine.
Yes.
After I get pregnant, so I make my time to really work at home,
yes,
making everything. My business partner is from Australia, so we start producing in Australia and also here in US.
Did you know her, him, prior? Or did you find him during that time?
So my thing is, like, always my dream was to have my own business, to work at home, because I want to be a mom, a present mom. But I need to work. I love work. Yeah. Like, for me, it's like, I was here looking and I was like, okay, look what he had there.
Curious.
Yeah, like.
Curious.
Always creating,
yes,
business. I used to put papers all around my apartment and create so much business. I create masks for the face. I, like, one day I come home to Argentina and I tell my mom, like, Mom, I'm buying the salsa Valentina from Mexico. And I'm putting it in all the countries. And my mom was like, what? You know, like, always my mind like that. So
Did any of your parents or grandparents have the entrepreneurial spirit?
My mom is a teacher.
Okay.
And my dad used to sell vegetables and fruit.
So. Yep.
No, I'm from the mountains.
Yes.
With horses.
Like, yes.
At my 17th, I decided to take a bus to Buenos Aires, the city. I never been in a city.
Prior to that?
I didn't know how to cross the huge streets. So for me, I was like, okay, I'm ready. I go.
You were,
like,
a country girl.
Like, running. Uh-huh. Like, it was crazy.
Like Frogger.
Like, the first time I take a flight was at my 20 years.
Wow.
And I arrived in Miami and I told my mom, I can't do like that to watch, you know, the new Icon building?
Yeah.
For me, it was crazy.
It's cool.
I couldn't believe it.
It's cool. It's like people,
so
first time they're in
I
New York.
I feel like,
yeah, it's cool.
I don't have that background.
Yes.
But
it was in you.
Yeah. My personality, my spirit made me like go travel and open my mind. And always my family made me feel free and didn't really expect nothing from me.
That's
so
awesome.
That made me like, okay,
I can do
it
anything.
Because if not happen, I don't give a shit.
No expectations. I love that. I'm glad you're on the show. My man.
So my name is Marvin Douglas. I'm from...
Take the mic in.
Oh, sorry.
No worries, brother. You can move it around as much as you want. It's flexible.
My name is Marvin Douglas. I'm from LA. My family's from El Salvador. I do fine jewelry and styling, like fashion styling. Also working on like other projects too, like a kind of clothing jewelry brand called Father of Pearl. And yeah, I mean, I guess like how I started was my grandmother did jewelry.
Okay.
So she like bought and resold jewelry. And with that, she was able to bring my dad and like all his brothers and all that to the United States.
So she came over to the US.
Yeah, she came over to the US and
she flipped jewelry.
She flipped jewelry.
Okay.
She was kind of like,
is she alive?
Yes, she is.
Okay, can you call her real quick? Because I'd prefer her be sitting in the seat. Because yeah. anyone who flipped shit to get their family to the new country.
It's crazy. No, it's inspiring.
Where does she live?
She lives in the United States now, but I think she's in El Salvador at the moment.
Got it. But she lives in LA usually?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would she come to New York? Or is that going to be too hard? I'm being dead.
I mean, she could do it.
Brother, yeah. I'm being dead. Does she, yeah. she speaks English?
No.
Should I learn Spanish before we have them? Can we get, yeah. I wonder if we should do an episode where I just translate in the app.
No, it's completely like direct to consumer.
I'll be honest with you. I'm about to do this podcast mm-hmm. with a retirement home mm-hmm. community. Like I am so hot on this. My team knows where I'm about to go. I believe in our obsession of youth, which is lovely. We all want to live. That's great. Look good, feel good, yeah. live a healthy life. Great. But in our obsession with youth culture, mm-hmm. I think America, more than any other place, has completely lost their respect for their elders. Absolutely. We have put kids on a pedestal, technology, youth culture, everyone wants to look good. And we've systematically in the last 30 years, we weren't great at it 30 years ago in America. Right. You know, now I was born in the USSR. Like, you know, obviously we've got an immigrant crew at this table. Like, most immigrant families have real fucking respect for their elders. There wasn't even an option.
Yeah.
America historically has not been remarkable at that. It's not been the DNA. No. And by the way, before anybody gets upset, I'm not saying Americans don't, like plenty do, but I'm talking in net score.
Americans hate elders.
I'll tell you right now, I think no one here is confused. It's I'm seeing shit out there. Like, I see people not standing up for like grandmas at airports.
Oh, yeah.
We make yeah. fun of them because they don't know how to use the new apps. True. Kids are completely dismissive of the grandparents right now. Yeah. Like, yeah. you don't get it. We've lost our way, and I'm obsessed right now with talking more about us needing as a society. All these 22-year-olds that are lost, they could use some more 80-year-old friends. Real talk. So anyway, if you can talk to Grams, tell yeah. her Gary Vee wants her on the show.
That would be amazing. I mean, she would love that.
Honestly, I might bring you back and have you translate yeah. it with me because I think the world needs to hear her. She came to America, flipped yeah. fucking jewelry to get her family over.
No, it's insane.
That's my favorite. That's what I love, flipping.
And so, I would say she's probably the most successful person in my family, and it's all her.
Well, I promise you, she's the most yeah. successful because yeah. when we redefine success, which mm-hmm. is another goal of mine, when we redefine success from just money and things to impact. Of course she's the most successful.
Absolutely.
Regardless, you yeah. can build a billion-dollar brand and flip it to LVMH, which I hope for you. She's still, in my mind, going to yeah. be the most successful because of what she put down.
I agree.
Think about what she did.
I agree. The effort.
Just like you changed the course of your family. That, like, well, what you did. Like, no, but it's real. It's real course. Talk.
Yeah. My anyway, family, the first time that they came from U.S. was
because of you.
That's insane, yeah.
So Grams did that.
So she did that. She kind of...
You were born where?
Yeah, I was born in Los Angeles.
And what kind of kid were you?
I was...
Like a dick?
No,
I'm kidding.
I was probably a dick. No, I was just like a really like quiet, observant kid.
Okay.
Like my mom even thought I
apologize. Like this is going to be a really good show, and I forgot to tweet it out. So
yeah,
you keep talking. I just want to apologize.
Yeah, so I was a really quiet, observant kid. My mom even took me to doctors to get like checked out. She's like, he doesn't talk, he doesn't cry. Like I'll sit him there, he falls over, and he just kind of stays.
Were you? do you feel like because you were in the middle? You
I was too just high always. I'm still like very observant, you know, and it's like now I can talk like outside of being a baby. But it was just always like a like how you said, like a curiosity kind of towards the world, you know, and everything. And I think that's why I watch. That's why I look around so much. I'm always staring, observing. And that's kind of the kid I was. But the work ethic, too, I think being Latino, too, I was working from like the day I started walking. I feel like I was a little kid cleaning houses with my mom and like.
Such a big advantage.
Just always, just always doing like the weirdest jobs. I was working like at Six Flags when I was like 14 years old. And like,
look, brother, I swear to God, my biggest belief in life, biggest belief, is that adversity is the foundation of success.
Yeah.
You know, what has become incredibly clear to me when I read my 10,000 DMs a month from the kids is the kids that grew up with less, that had to do the shit that we all did, have an advantage.
Yeah.
They don't see it then. They think they're friends that are wealthier and all this. They don't see it.
Yeah.
They have the advantage of what is being built inside of them that really helps them because I think the disadvantage, and by the way, I've changed my tune on this. 10 years ago, I didn't have as thoughtful of a thought on this. I know unlimited kids that have wealth, that their parents did a good job and they had the right DNA and they did a good job. They weren't entitled. Their parents didn't buy them everything. They had jobs even though they didn't have to. Like, even if they flew private, like, they understood that this was a blessing and they grew up very, but yeah. Many people, like, it's very hard to be hungry when you're fed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then what happens that I never knew growing up and now I have the privy to all this information is it creates enormous insecurity in a lot of these kids.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we're lucky, like, and you're lucky that you had to, you know, shovel snow. No, well, in LA, you didn't have to shovel snow. You had to vacuum rugs.
I grew up in a city outside of LA called Palmdale. It's like the ghetto desert. So,
of course.
Snow was part of it.
Wasn't in the mix.
And all that.
Yeah.
I kind of grew
people
up
don't
like
know
on
how
like
the
a,
desert works.
Yeah, it was almost it like a desert cold. Farm. It was weird. Yeah, we had chickens and geese and.
And so you feel like that work ethic.
Completely.
Yeah, was completely. Is foundational
like,
to why
the
you
moment,
sit here right
like,
now.
I mean, when you're going through it, it sucks, obviously.
Yeah,
but
like,
you look
this,
back when you're older
playing,
and you've gone through what you've gone through and you're so thankful for it because you know it made who you are today.
We'll get to more of your both of your stories in a minute. Got to make sure my man here to the left gets in.
Well, I'm a Nepo baby.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm Dustin Cannellan. I'm a artist, designer, entrepreneur. I got into the business through working at athletic basketball companies.
Yep.
And it was always my dream to kind of design shoes, and that was kind of my way in. So then after going to college and getting a job for that, I ended up starting my own company. And then now I have another company called Trophy Hunting, which is basically the... It's a brand about, sorry.
No worries. Nervous. Don't be nervous, brother. Honestly,
no, it's like I always,
this is like literally when I say the chillest, and watch this, the amount of love you're about to get, like there might not be a kinder community. Hmm. Honestly, it's when I die, this community will be the thing, besides my children, will be the thing I'm most proud of. Like you have to impress no one.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about anyone's fucking judgment. Definitely not mine.
No, no. You know what it is?
Please it's tell like, me. This is important. I like
no,
this right
the
now.
The reason why I get nervous is really the script. It's like I know who I am. I know what I do. I'm pretty accomplished, and
yep.
I don't like talking about myself.
Yeah.
And I think I have a hard time posing that as an answer to something. Like
I love
I'm
for
very
that.
Good
yeah.
in conversation and talking about what I do, and it does take me a while to warm up. But you know, I worked at Nike, stood in front of 150 people and had to talk about like what I do. And
I know about the city and all this. I know about
that,
you, bro.
And that's,
I know about
and
you.
And that's where I get kind of rolling, but it's always funny. Like I've always had this like fear of talking about myself.
Now, do you think your parents instilled that in you? As like a good virtue? Because it's a great virtue.
My parents were extremely supportive, like almost too supportive. But I was pretty... I picked up things really easily. So yeah. I was really good at sports. I always made all the all-star teams. I played baseball at like a really high level. I got a scholarship to go to art school. So it's like I had all of these
You're
things
talented.
Kind of going for me. So it was the challenges that like were tough. So, you know, starting a business was like my first real challenge where you kind of get to a point where you can't make, like your talent just doesn't win for you. It's all the other things. It's speaking in public. It's meeting with people,
well,
telling
all,
someone they can't do something.
Well, it's all, you know, to your point, it is your talent. Like, to you, I understand what you're saying. Your creative talent or your physical talent or your intellect, you're right. The reason business is so cool is A, it's super hard. Almost everybody fails. This is kids. First of all, I know there's a lot more people on. Just want to give a huge shout out. I know a lot of you are incredibly generous on Twitch and give out gift subs. And I know a bunch of you are coming over right now from text and from my other platforms. So if you're a first timer listening in, please say what's up and say you're a first timer and tell me where you came from. But back to you, brother, like, you know, what's interesting is it is your talent. To your point, the last thing you said, having the ability to deliver candor to employees where it doesn't scare them or upset them is the most important trait of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's hard for all of us. We've all gone through that, right?
Yep.
Number two, like talking about yourself or it That's called PR. That's called awareness. It's called branding. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Like, you know, what happens after being a superstar in a big organization versus being in the front is you're not sitting on the shoulders of 50 years of good work from Nike.
Right.
I remind all my friends that leave these big, you know, my agency works with big companies. And a lot of times they think about jumping to the real world, as I tell them. And like, I'm gonna do this. Look what I've done at, you know, I'll use an example of somebody we don't work with. Look what I've done at BMW. I'm like, I'm gonna do this. I'm like, real quick, you're standing on 100 years of good work by BMW.
That had to have played a factor.
Yeah. It is the factor. Yeah. Now, it takes skill to navigate a big, yeah. You know, you gotta know politics and like, you gotta get shit done in a big organization. It's a different skill. The problem in what we're all doing is it's you and the bear. The market is the bear. Like, there's no hiding.
No, and also you don't even, for in my case, I don't even have a team. You know, I'm growing my team. That is the other thing. How you know that you need someone that knows something that you don't know, how you hire them, it's right, it's not right, you can follow. It's like
everything. Yeah.
It's and the scariest part is when you say it's different, it's just different at this moment. For every one of us, we started at zero. When I started this company, the man standing right behind you, Mike Boyd, was a college friend of my brother AJ's. He literally slept in the office. This is how ghetto we were. And we didn't pay for that office. We bartered it because I didn't have money to pay for an office. And so like, you know, everything's, there's not a company we know that didn't start at zero. Apple started in a shed. It started in a fucking shed. Let me say it one more time for all the kids that are listening. And everybody listening at home in a podcast, Apple, you know, that $3 trillion company, Steve and Steve started the fucking company in a fucking garage in California. They just did. It's just the way it is. And so that's fucking remarkable. But you're right. That talent is a different game. And yeah. It's a different talent.
It is. And that's why, you know, like I also working at bigger companies, it's like I learned that I felt like I knew what I wanted to do. And I was having a hard, like not having a hard time. I didn't enjoy having to explain why you wanted to do something. I liked doing the actual work. So that's kind of like why I moved to doing it on my own or with friends and partners along the way. Cause it's really about working with friends, doing something that we love, having the freedom to do it when, where, wherever.
Yeah, instead of going to meetings that are about nothing.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, you know, it's great. It's like a highlight reel of, like support, but for the most part, it's like I enjoy doing the actual work.
I love it. Quick shout out to everybody on Twitch. I see a lot of you coming on. Please make sure you sub up. And also for all you generous ones out there. Oh, did Corso gift 5 people a sub? Is that what Corso did up there? Is that the rules of that? Corso, if you did, I love you for that. All right, what's the biggest challenge right now in your life, professionally or personally, that you're willing to share? Because I think one thing that I spend a lot of time on is people see us in our current state. Mm-hmm. And we all were in different states. And, you know, they just think this is super great. And yet, yeah. I know all 3 of you, me included, all 4 of us, have plenty of shit that we're fucking worried about, that sucks, that's really tough. So just to get on the vulnerability train for a second, if I asked you, obviously this is a very public setting, so you may not go to the actual number one thing, which I think is incredibly appropriate, but whichever one you're closest to that you're willing to share on, what's the thing that's most challenging right now? Please.
For me, the more challenging is like I'm a mom.
And how old is?
2.
2 years old.
So my office is in the house.
Oh, that's fun.
So I love, you know, like I have working with him. My biggest challenge is like I have the company. I also do modeling.
Yes.
Of course, I have my husband and yes. Everything. So all that, how
but to he should balance. Be like 4th, right? He's like a distant 4th.
He is, but I get a trouble with him. I get a go with him. And I'm like, you're not coming. I'm like, no, I have this meeting. I got a trouble that. I have that event of the brand, Rio.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Everything. So for me, it's, I wake up 6 a.m. and my day is 9 p.m. because I work also with Australia. And it's not ending. At 6 p.m. start my meetings in Australia.
How do you recharge?
Walking.
Love that. Every day?
Yeah.
Every day.
For me, I walk in my I start and I know myself, I can be mad, I can be feeling like shit, but after my 30 minutes walking, I'm in another person.
Do you breathe, do you do breath work while you're walking?
I walk that fast that I'm like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, I put
with,
music.
With the baby or solo?
I try to go solo.
Yeah, that's
to
smart. Have my movement. Yeah, as you should.
So I always put Rio, here Rio goes to preschool because I want him to be with kids. Here in New York, yep. If you have an apartment,
yep.
You don't interact every day with kids. So I put him, he loved that. He says like, mom, love you.
See ya.
Yeah.
Independent to
and
your
And that are my 3 hours.
Good
that,
for you.
Oh,
you crush those 3 hours, yeah.
That 3 hours
for so me. So for like, you, it's balancing the the little guy, the business, the husband, and your career as a model and spokesperson.
Exactly. That is one thing. And my other thing is like a bottle grows so fast. So my other thing is like I was saying, I need to hire people. And I don't know. Like
By the way, after this podcast, we should talk. I know so many people.
Please.
I just mentioned them. These people in CPG brands at the biggest companies in the world, a lot of them are ready for a next show. I met with somebody yesterday I'm going to introduce you to that I liked a lot.
Like,
yeah, I'll help you.
Like, oh, yeah, happy to help. No, I was like, came here and also want to listen to you. That's why I'm like,
I
want to like listen, learn. I'm learning here.
We're all learning. My man, what's the toughest thing right now, real talk?
I can kind of relate to you, which is like kind of like the struggle of like kind of balancing all these different things that we have in our life. And I'm sure it's even harder with a kid. Like that's like adding a whole nother factor.
Yeah, because the love you have for them is like different. Like, but what people don't realize that don't have businesses is for entrepreneurs that own a business.
Yeah.
It's the fifth kid. It's the second kid. It's a kid.
Yeah.
A business is a kid.
It really is.
You really love it like that when you're a purebred entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You love it. You do. You don't want it to get hurt. Yeah. You don't want it to die. You know, like you really care for it like that.
That's true. And then with my businesses, I feel like in a way, those are my kids right now, you know? And it's like, if I neglect one, the other one doesn't get the attention it deserves. And that's kind of been a struggle with me is that like, with like the two main businesses in my life, both have been, brought a lot of success into my life. And I feel like the more I focus on one, like it takes away from the other. So I kind of like, am struggling juggling
those. Who's the judge of that though?
It's,
you know, when I hear
I think
that,
just me,
that's why I'm jumping on this. I want to help you, and I'm hoping this helps other people online. By the way, I heard somebody just say, I feel like Gary vibes best when he's on other people's podcasts. I agree with that. I enjoy more Q&A, but I'll do the best I can here, so I apologize.
Wow.
I don't think it was coming from a bad place, but I caught it late. But I actually agree with it, so I just wanted to give love because I want to keep the chat engaged. By the way, if you're listening on the podcast, go to GaryVee.com/Twitch. We are live streaming on Twitch all of the podcasts with friends in real time, so you can be part of the show. And two, I don't know if some of you have noticed, I'm starting to just live stream on Twitch, me sitting in the office and working all day, which has been a wild ASMR, like, people working along with me. Sometimes I am mute and talk. So for everybody who's listening, if you want to work with me during the day, work along with me, start checking out Twitch. Make sure you subscribe. Brother, I got to say something to you that I hope helps all three of you, but more importantly, helps everybody listening. Mm-hmm. The only people, when they ask me like, Gary, how do you deal with work-life balance? Who's the judge and jury of work-life balance? You. What are we going to look at each other's, what are we looking at each other's calendars and being like, you're like, of course we're all worried about one day getting older and having our kids say, you didn't spend enough time with me. You're like, oh fuck, that's like the scariest.
Yeah.
Or your friends saying like, yo, what the fuck? Like none of us want to big time our friends, right? Mm-hmm. That's a thing to worry, especially when you're younger. Like when you're really focused on your shit, your friends are like, yo, let's go out. You're like, I'm on my shit.
Yeah.
And like, oh, now you're on your shit. You don't fucking, especially when you come from the dirt and it seems like all four of us, like, you know, like this, no one wants to be a sellout.
Yeah.
And then there's always your parents, your siblings. Like it's a big stress for me that I play simpatico with my family. Everyone knows I'm about them and I'm always available, but I stress and like, do they feel like I'm attached enough because I'm moving? And like, I worry about that, you know? And like, but I always am reminded, and I talk to myself, everything I talk about in my content or in this is shit I talk to myself about. And so like, you're the judge and the jury. When you're married, there's another person involved in that, then your kids become involved in that, your family, your friends, but that's solvable stunningly with communication. And then I think the other thing is like, creating some random things that work, like always doing a first Tuesday of every month dinner with 12 people and mixing it. If you're the most extreme busy, and I'm in that camp,
yeah,
things like having a standing reservation for 8, the second Tuesday of every month, or if you travel a lot like I do, just like booking it 30 days out to the best of your ability, and inviting friends, family, acquaintances, work friends, and just like you can hack it. Yeah. It's just like working out or skin regimen. Like there's a way to make your time management better. I'll give you one. Most of my meetings are 15 minutes. Almost everyone I know has 1 hour meetings that are complete bullshit. Yeah. It's a 17 minute meeting, but you make it an hour. But if you don't have time, make more 15 minute meetings. But most of all, that's tactical. Macro, bro, don't judge yourself.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm pretty bad at.
That's exactly what it is.
That's my struggle.
But you, bro.
No, I agree 100% with that, because I think one of the things that I'm lucky to myself now that I figured that out, the work-life balance, because it is personal. And I figured out that, you know, I like having my hands in multiple things. So I'm just aware of that. So I draw all the time and do art just for me and don't get commissioned out or anything. So no one could tell me what to do. I'm still entrepreneurial and I still have to hustle, but I also still have a studio where I work with Nike and Puma, and I'm still like in the corporate world.
Yeah, you're playing both. You got clients and doing your own thing.
Exactly. So I'm still in the world.
That's a cool approach.
So I have these three pillars that I'm always constantly doing.
It was the first time.
Because I know that's complete fulfillment for me.
Yeah.
And then I'm, you know, the hardest part for me is really this, is the, for especially for my brand, like my brand, me, and then
putting
also
yourself out there
and Trophy Hunting, my brand, is the PR side of it, is like
doing, what about bringing in somebody?
we've tried and we're still in the process. Yeah, because I think it's,
can I give you a good piece of advice on this? Because I know you very well, and I think so all of us are paying attention. You know, I listen to all of you. You're all doing kind of similar to me. It's my biggest strength too. I talk all the time, so people are confused by this. 90% of what I do is listen. Yeah. It's why I'm always talking. I've got so much to observe that I want to talk about. The number one way a guy like you on a brand like yours will win is by spending a lot of time on social media and seeing a young kid doing something cool.
Yeah.
And then DMing her or him, being like, yo, I fuck with this. And then them hitting you up and them viewing you as it's all just steps.
Yeah.
So like you usually the mistake that is made is you go for something that's too professional.
Yeah.
They have the resume they used to work with Nike, or they fucked with, they did a thing for Sprayground that you liked, but they were a team of 80. Right. No, you need a fucking scrapper.
Right. Yeah. We need someone to call Hypebeast and tell them to put our shit on the feed.
Yeah, but first you need a kid who's the 17-year-old us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the 22-year-old us, who even knows the up-and-coming best writer at Hypebeast. Like, right. She and he lives it. Yeah. You're either of the culture or you're not. Whatever culture that is. Not when I say culture, obviously that's now more urban hip-hop, but I'm talking about any culture. Sports, music, cooking. Like, you're even, like, I'll make this even more prominent. You're either knowledgeable, like me with wine. I grew up in wine. I worked in it from 14 to 34. From 14 to 34, from 16 to 34, I knew everything. I knew every writer, I knew every wine, I knew everything. I now know an unbelievable amount about wine. I'm passionate about it, I keep up on it. I don't know shit compared to the fucking 30-year-old me. The 30-year-old me knew everything. And this will make sense to all of you. Yeah. Once you're out of something, you're out of it. If you go out to the hottest clubs in New York and LA and Vegas every night, you know everything that's happening. You take a step away and you come back 6 months later and everything's fucking different.
Whole new world.
Right? Whatever it is, Boyd, you know this, you're an A&R. Like, you know, I know you well enough to know, like, there's some 6 months when you know everything, and there's some 6 months when you're busy with some shit with your family, or you got shit that you're doing for me, or we got Rome Fortune, or whatever it is, and you're, like, it's just the way it is. What you need to do is find the kid that really know, the kid that's like, cool, I'll get you Hypebeast, but do you know about Street Street? And you're like, what the fuck is Street Street? And it's the next Hypebeast.
Right.
That's who you fucking need. Because everyone else is going to be shit for you.
That's very
true.
That
I was about to tell you. Like, Hypebeast, you have so much more.
No. Yeah, I was.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. All right, let's get a question. Couple things. Let me answer the question that the kid had, because I was excited about this, that was in the chat. Somebody said, I see it. TravC21 on Twitch says, how can I get financial help building an app while I live paycheck to paycheck? Trav, it's almost impossible. Most people don't get funded. It's very hard. There's a lot of issues with it, but right now money is expensive. Even the people that go to Stanford are having a harder time raising capital because people with money are getting 5% interest on their money. Why are they gonna risk it on some fucking startup? Money got valuable. It's the hardest time to get money right now. But Trav, let me tell you why I picked your question. We are moments away. I want everyone to hear this. We are moments away from all of us building apps in 1 hour using AI. The fact that all of us are gonna be able to build websites and apps using AI in a year is bananas. That's how much AI is advancing. It will program applications. Like, I don't wanna jump to the biggest hyperbole. I'm not educated enough to know that we're really there within the next 24 months that you can build a really solid iPhone app in like an hour, but it's not as far away as people think. And I would say for all of you, with the million other things that you have to be focused on for your business, this thing that's emerging called AI is like a real fucking beast. And so it's gonna be pretty exciting, and I see everyone reacting to it. It's gonna be a big deal. It's gonna change the world the way the internet did, and I hope everyone is, actually now that we're going into the holidays, I hope everyone during the holidays, you know how the holidays are, there's downtime along with all the stuff you have to do. Maybe one night when you're drinking some cocoa or some tequila, like maybe you spend 2-3 hours and start Googling, getting educated about AI, listening to a podcast, watch a YouTube show. It's time. Nobody in this community or at this table can go into 2024 and not know anything about AI. It's two here. So something to keep in mind as well for all of us. All right, let's grab a pack of cards. These are my D friends. This is my Pokemon meets Marvel universe that I launched in NFT form, another new technology, but also now in physical form. Here's how we're playing the V friends card game. Okay. You're gonna open this pack, and I need you to look at all four characters and pick the character that most speaks to you and most represents you. Okay, I got mine. Good? Ladies first, what do you got?
I just did.
You chose the Maltese. Because of the way it looks, or because of who the character is?
No, I don't know. Get the different one. I feel the card is different.
But yes, it's a rare card. That's a valuable card. You pull the best card out of all of us. So it's good.
I did it.
All right. What do you got, my friend? You locked in?
Oh, I got the penguin.
Why?
I just resonated with the penguin. I don't know. I just think they're clumsy.
I think that's I think it's a puffin.
Oh, it's a
puffin?
Read the name. Is it a puffin? Oh, it's a... Oh, yeah, it is a puffin. Okay, well, this thing. Yeah.
The bird.
I've never seen a puffin in person.
It's visual.
It looks like a penguin.
Respect, my man.
I picked macro, micro, just because that's how I kind of work. I'm always like looking afar, but then I like being in the details at the same time.
It's funny. This is one of my favorite like weird characters. Like, it's not super popular. We have 283. It's a weird name. The character's called macro, micro. It's two B's, but it's how I work too. I think people that win... I did a K-Swiss sneaker collaboration and I called it Clouds and Dirt. I think the people that are in the clouds, dreaming, ambition, right? And can equally stay in the dirt. Humble, work ethic, still in it, like we talked about. That's why I made micro macro. I think, you know, a lot of this, I'm gonna make children's books and things of that nature. And I think some people just dream and are delusional and don't put in the work. And I think a lot of other people just work and actually, my biggest fear right now in the world is like people don't dream. They've believed all the negativity in the world. They're like, this whole thing that's going on now with Gen Z kids, where they're trying to tell these Gen Z kids that they can't be more successful than their parents. We're gonna be the first generation not as successful. Yeah. It's terrible propaganda. It's terrible propaganda. You're telling a generation of kids, and a lot of them believe it.
Yeah.
And it's devastating to me.
A lot just see through the bullshit though too.
Yeah, they do. And those are the ones who are gonna win. Yeah. The problem is more don't.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I spend my time looking at, analyzing scaled human behavior. More don't. More do think that it's over. More, like I love this whole meme of like Gen Z telling boomers you fucked up the world. Go and read a history book and see what boomers said to their grandparents.
Right.
The fuck do you think boomers grew up with? Two wars. Global, back-to-back, world wars.
That's insane.
Yeah.
As if. There's just too much negativity in the world. And they've got us fighting over everything. As if religion, race, and gender was not enough to divide us, now they're teaching the kids that we have to divide on generations. Gen Z versus millennials, and millennials versus boomers. No. Like, we keep stacking the table with more things to not love each other versus just looking at each other and saying, we're all team human, right. I fucking love you.
The OGs were always the most inspirational, though, for me, at least. Like, they were always the people that were like, even though I didn't do it, like, here's a pathway, or here's stuff that you can know about. It's all just exposure and experience.
This is mainstream media loving to use, like, analytics to tell kids that they can't be as wealthy as their parents, which is ludicrous. Do you know how many fucking 20-year-olds make more money than their parents do right now because of the world?
Yeah.
In fact, it's the reversed. Never in the history of time could teenagers make more money than their parents, but because of the way the internet works, there are, let me say it nice and slow for everyone, millions of teenagers around the world who make way more money than their parents because they made money on the internet, being an influencer or selling shit or da da da. So like, they're getting sold this bullshit.
Yep.
And meanwhile, the reality is the ones that don't succumb to the bullshit are actually transcending success for youth that we've never seen before. Please.
I feel like please. For me, it's the new era. I don't know, like, I think the history, you know, I always used to ask my grandma and everything, all the history in Argentina, how everything was changing. And I feel like before, when you didn't used to have, you know, like the TV or didn't used to have the cable, everything was changing. But when the era make the change fast, now I feel like we are all learning and everything is going fast. So of course the teenager getting faster, like even the TikTok, everything. I feel like it's something like we are afraid, but also if you think our kids, me thinking with Rio, he's 2 years old. And sometimes I'm like afraid because like the new technology, you know, he don't need to do the homework, nothing. But also, if he don't really understand that, he will never, you know, go to the future and getting better and better. So how you balance that, how you don't lose, you know, the part of the floor, but also, you know, keep the reality. You need to jump in that train.
I couldn't agree with you more. You said the most important word, balance. We are living in the greatest era of not balance. It's all extremism. Everyone is fighting from left to right on these things, and they think by going further, they're gonna bring the other people over, but what we're doing is going further apart. Parents, you said another thing. Parents are afraid. They love these little ones so much, they're afraid. And the world is selling fear. Yep. Every kid used to be outside 40 years ago, and then the news covered kidnapping 24/7, and then everybody put their kids inside.
I walked to school in kindergarten.
Me too. I walked to school in kindergarten.
I grew up outside.
Like, you know, and so like, you're absolutely right. Balance is the key. The problem is we are in an era right now where we are the furthest thing from balance.
I also think people need, maybe they're teaching this at school, but it's like the critical thinking. It's just like problem solving. I feel like is at a low where it's like people are learning very distinct skills and they know how to do one thing, but they don't know how to like problem solve or do anything. So I'm seeing a lot of, especially younger people who are getting more traction and being a little bit more successful and fast paced because they're able to like problem solve and not just be like, oh, I don't know how to do that. So I Googled it, didn't work. YouTube didn't show anything. So I guess it's wrong. I'll do it the other way. And it's just like, we didn't have that. We had to figure it out. And it's just because you wanted to do that.
Yeah. If I had this technology,
oh my God.
And I'd be also an animal. Separation.
But that is my theme. Yeah. Like, you know, like I always, as a mom, we know the dads really think on the kids, but the mom, sorry, but are the moms. And we always think. And for me, it's like, I get that part, but also I feel like they can even learn more. So again, how to balance, because now they can fix with the phone. Yeah, of course. And it's like easy for them.
Yeah.
But they can learn more. So where they
just get tool. It.
It's I feel like it's a new
era. Well, it's a new era because we were all taught to memorize information. Information is worthless. It's at our fingertips. And with AI, even the ability to process the information is about to become worthless. My biggest thing is if we could just get all the moms and dads around the world to focus on building a kid's self-esteem, that is going to be the game. The game is not going to be like, get good grades. Good grades, fuck you. How many people, we're all grown now. What happened with all our valedictorians? What happened to all the kids you grew up with that had great grades? Was that my thing that was always confusing to me is there are plenty of valedictorians and people that got good grades that had great lives and this. The problem was there was also just as many that didn't.
Yeah.
So getting good grades was not a direct correlation to happiness or financial success. To me, like what we've got to get the conversation going to self-esteem. The issue right now is most kids are insecure.
Well, my mom as a teacher, she says that the biggest problem in school was like with phone,
yes,
with AirDrop and everything. They used to send pictures,
yep,
how went viral and how much they struggled, the kids, with problems.
Yeah.
That was something that my mom always says. So I agree with you with the self-esteem, but also to be present. Something like
the problem,
more than self-esteem with it, that are like me, but I work so hard, but when I'm with my kid, I'm present. Yeah. I'm analyzing him.
Yeah, for sure. I will tell you this though, to your point, a lot of kids say to me, this is a very common DM I'll get from a 15-year-old. Gary, what do I do here? My parents keep yelling me to be present. Meanwhile, they're not present. Like, they're all talking shit, like be present, be respectful. And every time I try to talk to them, they're on their fucking phone. The hypocrisy, like I've literally been in my own home with other parents who are yelling at me that technology is bad because I'm in the business. And then giving their, then their kid comes, but we're having a good time drinking wine, and they give their kid the iPad so they hush away. Like literally they can't even see the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
They're literally actively having a conversation with me that technology is bad. The kid comes over, they're having a good time, so they give the iPad and go run off, Johnny, and go play.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's hypocrisy at scale.
All day.
Yeah, it's again the easy way.
Look, I think the biggest issue is, you know, I see exactly parents are the least present. Some are, some aren't. My big thing is we've just become incredibly, from parents it makes sense, but the world has become incredibly focused on telling people what to do versus focusing on what they do. Yeah. It's become a national pastime to point fingers. Everybody's got a judgment about everybody. Yeah. What we used to do to celebrities, we now do to everybody.
Yeah.
At scale. Everyone's being judged, which is why everyone's all fucked up.
It's very true.
Anyway, let's switch it to a good note. What are you most excited about? Before we get out of here, what is like most got you jazzed as we go into 2024? What are you most excited about?
Me so much. First,
please.
About mom, that I always say, that is important.
Number one.
For me. Maria is talking and every day is coming with something new, so funny.
Yeah, three like, is like a different, like two to three is like, pew. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome for you.
That, for me, also in the company, we really have huge retailers in Australia, but now we're getting here in US too, so that would
How do people find the company? Let's make sure we do that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cup Outdoor Superfood, you can find, and in US, I sell in the website, Revolve Air One.
Air One is so fucking, that is like the mecca of Los Angeles now.
It is.
Do you know that people literally, I know people that literally go to LA to do business just so they can go to Air One. Like literally, actually.
And take this smoothie that is like
$49.
Yeah.
I'll say it. They sell $49 fucking dollar smoothies and people are lined up. Clean eating.
And they have Balenciaga collaborations and stuff now.
Clean
too.
Eating. This is one of the biggest movements in like clean eating is just going to be outrageous. Like all the biggest brands in the world in 20 years, people are gonna be like, what are these brands? They're all building right now. It's about ingredients, not calories, and it's going to be a big deal. Same with skincare.
Yeah, well, we have Ingestible Beauty. That is the collagen, the hyaluronic acid. But also my biggest, you know, retailers are in Australia, because in Australia it's already like that.
Yeah, it's already
normal.
There.
Yeah.
If I take like hyaluronic acid in powder, for them it's normal.
Yeah. Different trends in different places.
It's crazy.
Like, makes sense.
It's coming.
My man.
Just excited.
How do they find the brand? Because I see a lot of people rocking with what you're rocking with right now. I saw a lot of comments early on. They want to know where to get it.
On my Instagram, like Marvin X Douglas, that's like my fine jewelry. Like I post most of my fine jewelry work on there. And then I'm also working on a clothing line right now. It's kind of like a jewelry meets clothing. It's for the person that can't really accessorize themselves. It kind of comes accessorized already.
So are you wearing, is that what you're wearing right now?
So like this hat was something I kind of like sewed together. this is like a jacket by Stussy, but I kind of added pins. So it's,
you know, it's funny. That, like, you could grab it. It's right in front of you. You see that devil pin?
Yeah. They were showing me earlier, and I was like, this is amazing.
It's funny that you're here. You know,
pinned out.
Because I collected everything, comic books, trading cards. I collected everything, but pins was not something I collected. Mm-hmm. But I loved making videos on the internet to show people how to make money at garage sales. Yeah. And one of the things I did very well with always was Olympic pins. Yes. Like, you go to a garage sale, you buy just a bunch of Olympic pins for like 10 bucks, and you could sell them individually for like 200 bucks. So when we did V Friends, because there's a Disney element and Disney is very big in pins, we did pins and they've been huge. Like, for everybody who's on right now, go to eBay, type in V Friends pins. You'll be shocked at completed sales. It's become a whole thing. And because of that, I'm now more educated on what you're doing and what other people are doing. I feel like it's a very obvious growth in as fashion continues to be a currency of our society. I think what you're doing is very real and going to be a much bigger macro trend over the next decade.
The collection factor definitely plays a part. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even with like the cards, like I grew up playing Pokemon, and one of the things they do in Pokemon is collect badges, which are pins. So it's like, you know, there's that factor that gives you like the want and like the need of something like that.
So you're making clothing pins are incorporated already.
Yes, it's kind of like a more affordable version of my jewelry line too, since my fine jewelry is like a specific price point.
Price point is that usually in?
I would say rings start about like 4,000 and go up from there.
Yep.
And I kind of wanted to make something that was a bit more accessible.
Makes sense.
Without kind of like tainting the name of Marvin Douglas, you know, and that, like,
it's really hard.
The way I hold
it. Of course,
you
don't want to fuck up the brand.
Yeah. So then Father of Pearl is it's like a play on Mother of Pearl, the material, but Father of Pearl is my clothing brand that I'm working on with like clothing accessories. And like I said, for the person that doesn't know how to accessorize himself, it kind of comes with accessories already on it. So it kind of does the work for you. And it's kind of like, I'm just excited about that. I'm excited about dropping that project. And my vision for it is like, you know, there's these like destinations like Monaco and like these rich, like, you know, south of France, like Italy, like that have always been looked at as like these like destination, you know, kind of places for like vacation.
Yep.
And El Salvador, like where I'm from, it's like never been looked at as that. So it's kind of like me imagining what El Salvador, like what the clothing in El Salvador would look like if that was a destination, like one of those rich destinations.
That's cool, bro.
Which
I like that.
It never was,
you.
You know.
Good for you. Yeah. I love that.
Thanks.
My man.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to all of the momentum that's kind of been built over the last 18 months for the brand trophy hunting.
It seems like it's really pumping.
Yeah, no,
like
it's great.
Lot of cool people like rocking.
Yeah, no, we have a really good following. The clothing is amazing in person. So our goal next year is to get it in front of people. So we just did a pop-up shop with Neiman Marcus. We're going to do another one in January or February and then kind of move into a small piece of retail and then hopefully open up our own stores.
Good for you.
Dope.
But yeah.
Final question. Final question. Social media content. I believe social media content is the primary variable of all three of your businesses. Yeah. Besides you, the human, and who you as you operate, but from a marketing standpoint, where are you at with social media content? How's it going? We'll go backwards. We'll end with ladies this time. How's it going for you or the brand? Which platforms are working? What's an enigma? What would you like to be better at? What's the state of the union of your organic social media, which is a deep passion of mine?
I struggle with the organic side just because, number one, a lot of the stuff that I work on is top secret and I can't show anything for 18 months out. So like if we do something with Rihanna, I can't show you what it is. I could just say it or whatever. Yep. So I struggle with like that. And then, I'm just a perfectionist too. So it's like, I like curated things to look nice. So I kind of overwhelm myself and just end up like not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. My team knows where I sit on perfectionism. I always believe that perfectionism is slang for insecurity.
Yeah.
I think people beat themselves. This goes back to beating yourself up. It's like, look, clearly all three of you have like taste and all that. I get that. It's a skill like anything else. That being said, when you're building a business, if you're not talking, it's not happening.
Right.
So, you know, if you're not posting, it's not happening. And it's, you have to remember, it's inherently selfish to only judge based on your opinion. Even though you're the lead dog, There's many things I put out into the world that I'm not sure, but by putting it out in the world, I'm learning. I may be potentially helping someone with that, might be inspired. Like, there's things that you've killed that might have been the piece of content that inspired a young kid to start their thing.
No, totally.
So I think sometimes we think too selfishly about our content, and if we thought more selflessly and think about who's on the other end,
yeah,
all of a sudden it doesn't have to be perfect, because you realize this might, you were inspired by people putting out shit.
Right.
So something to think about, my man.
With social media, it's kind of like, it's a struggle for me.
Okay.
I think the consistency in it, like as far as like posting all the time that, you know, I have like things
what about
available
the business?
For sale. With the business,
that's
I think that's where, yeah, like the consistency of like posting that I even
what about,
have stuff for
what
sale.
What about posting stuff that's not for sale?
What about
posting an image of the individual units before it's a pin?
Yeah, so that in general, I feel like my consistency is like doing that. Like I capture it, I just don't post it.
Why?
That's my thing.
Can I give you an insight?
What I have to work on.
Because I don't think you could think, uh-huh. I believe one of the biggest reasons someone like you may not post it is you believe it might not do well. And I think one of the biggest things that I'm trying to teach entrepreneurs and friends to think about is their insecurity of the algorithm. So like people aren't posting because they're worried that it's going to get few views and that may look bad on them.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things I would love for platforms to do.
That doesn't bother me though.
Respect, everyone's different. Yeah. By the way, I'm not sure I'm right. I'm fishing here.
Yeah.
Mine's more for like sales, not like the likes. It's like, these are like thousands of dollar pieces, you know? And it's like,
What about thinking that 90% of what you post shouldn't be about sales?
So that's a thing too. Yeah, that's a good perspective on it.
And well, I'd let's fucking to, yeah. make that change.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I
that's
feel
one of
like
the reasons
I have to
why
do.
I don't post all the time too. Yeah, because I don't like being salesy or talk about product.
See, I hate that too.
But I hate
guys,
posting.
That's guys, how
I
feel. Here's
a beer,
guys. There's
yeah, that's easy.
Ready? There's an iconic book written called Jab, 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 Right Hook. It means give, 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 and occasionally ask.
Yeah.
That's how you should think about your social. Give. It doesn't have to be here's a beer. It could be story time with this beer. Hey, designers, let me tell you about my first month by myself. I sold nothing. It sucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know how much value that could be for someone who looks up to you too?
True.
You're being selfish.
No, that's good. I've been doing that on Threads lately.
The fuck is that about? You feel safe there?
I don't know.
You feel safe.
I think Instagram to me has always just been like pictures and like
I think you
photos.
Put, no, I'll tell you what it is. You're putting Instagram on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You're treating it like a fucking museum.
I saw something you did recently with like, where you spoke about Facebook too. Yeah. And like that one really like touched me.
Facebook's on
like,
fire.
It's just, there's so many people that still use it.
Facebook's on fucking fire.
And I don't
it's
use it
fire.
At all.
Because of my dad.
Yeah, literally, it's all the dads.
It's because millions of people are, by the way, my team will tell you, my fastest growing demo on Facebook is 21 to 30. It's because it's a feed.
Wow.
And people just happen to be on there. Like, it's just the people are just not thinking enough. Anyway, social.
I'm learning. I'm like, okay, my Facebook. Fuck, I don't have any. I'm like, no, me? Really? I'm really practiced. So I have a team that helped me on that.
Yep.
Because for me, I leave my phone like that and I'm like, you know, working in another thing.
Got
so.
It.
And I'm, like I say, I'm not really artist, so I can admire both of them, how they create, you know, how you can create things. Me, I'm like, okay, post that. You know, it's easy.
I think some of the best content on the internet is mompreneurs. I promise you, it is a powerful subject matter. It's something you need to consider.
It inspires a lot of people.
It's a real deal. Like, it's super real. Like, there's an ungodly amount of women. There are hundreds of millions of women out there who are incredibly on fire professionally, but also aspire and dreamed and love being a mom. And I think it is incredibly hard for dads and dudes to balance life. But when you have a child come out of you, there is a different fucking relationship. It's just the way it is. And I think it's one of the most important subject matters. And I think you could do a lot of good by talking about the ups and the downs. I just think it's compelling content. I think you can help people, really do.
You know, and I feel like it's a good moment that I admire when women, you know, like are entrepreneur and try to grow because I know how it is. I know like...
Yeah, you're living it.
Like, exactly. Like, okay, yeah, like it's real here. I'm giving the food, but also I'm having a meeting and I'm changing and I'm going to the airport. And of course, the mom fly with the kid to the airport.
Yeah, of course.
The flights are sometimes not easy and you arrive directly to the meeting or the modeling.
That's
so
right.
All of that. But I love my life.
Even if you don't have a kid and you're a woman, it's hard.
Everything's hard. Yeah. And by the way, something that's finally coming up, I'm glad dudes are being more vulnerable too. Like, news alert, it's hard being a human, but not when you simplify it back to loving life. The way to love life is to simplify it.
Me, I come back from, I was working in Aspen. I arrived like Saturday, 11 p.m. And Sunday morning, I went to the pool with Rio and after to the ice cream museum. And I forget about everything. I was laughing so much, enjoying it with
good
him.
For you.
Like, Monday, I can go work.
Back to work.
He goes to preschool, like.
Got a rhythm.
The rhythm. Thank you for being on, you three. Twitch, thank you for watching. Keep it on for a second. Thank you for watching. Everybody listening at home, love you. Talk soon.